Week 1, Uncovering the Myths of Orgasm. Myth number 1, orgasm is something that is the result of sexual stimulation, whether alone or not. The greatest roadblock to experiencing orgasm is the belief that orgasm occurs because of a particular stimulation. In fact, it has been documented and proven by Masters and Johnson that thought is what drives orgasm, and some women can literally think themselves into an orgasm. Dr. Ian Kerner, author and sex therapist, shares, "The brain is the most powerful sex organ. This mind-body link is especially strong in women, although it does exist in men. And if we have not yet discovered this connection, then this is the most important place to begin to uncover our orgasmic potential. Can you think yourself into orgasm? If not, are you open to the possibility of being able to have such an experience? How does the idea of thinking yourself into orgasm feel?" If you remember from the free video series, orgasm is your birthright. It is something that all human beings are capable of. Yet the greatest hindrance to our own pleasure is ourselves. By being willing to think outside the typical pleasure box, you are already initiating a great repatterning in your pleasure body. We will begin to awaken our own erotic field in the activity part of this lesson. Through honestly sitting with the questions in this presentation, you are setting the stage for a delightful exploration. Myth number 2. If you are not already multi-orgasmic from birth, it is hard or next to impossible to become this way. Another significant problem that limits our exploration of our own pleasure threshold is the comparison of ourselves to others who are already, in our esteem, orgasmic beyond measure. Many of us believe that we're either naturally orgasmic or we are not, that it is an intrinsic inborn quality, and this is absolutely not true. Comparing ourselves to others limits our capacity to experience pleasure. Here's why. When we compare, we are judging. And when we judge, our hearts are closed. And when our hearts are closed, we block our natural ability to soften and surrender into delight and pleasure. Also, by judging ourselves as less than, we then set the stage for being unable to match up to what we deem is the true evidence of grand pleasure. All of this is mental. The way in which we perceive ourselves determines how we experience reality. When we judge ourselves, we shut down our erotic capacity and thus prove our theory that somehow we're just not built for orgasm. If you are a woman who already orgasms easily, then you may want to look at how your current definition of your pleasure may be limiting the pleasure that you can experience. Are you comparing your pleasure to others? Have you ever had a lover compare your pleasure to others? Have you ever been judged for, or have you ever judged your pleasure? Are you willing to set yourself free from the beliefs and definitions that literally control your experience of your pleasure reality? There is another factor to myth number 2, how we women are socialized as sexual beings. Here's a quote from researcher Dr. Foss from the book What Do Women Want by Daniel Bergner. There was a lot of discussion about it by the experts in the room, the need to show that you're not turning women into nymphomaniacs. There is a bias against, a fear of creating the sexually aggressive woman. There's this idea of societal breakdown. This quote points to a predominant assumption about female desire and sexuality, that if we were to fully embrace it and fully express it, we would become nymphomaniacs, and that a full-scale breakdown of society would result. This assumption is so ingrained that we rarely stop to question its truth. In fact, because of this assumption, most of us end up socialized to turn down or fully shut down our desire. Here's another idea from the same book, What Do Women Want? By Danielle Bergner. They, women, seem to adhere consciously or reflexively to timeless rules about the way women should or shouldn't be. Did this take its toll on the sexual circuits of neurotransmitters, which, like all our circuitry, can be reinforced and augmented or allowed to wither throughout life? This line of questioning is backed by rigorous studies which show time and time again that female desire is as fundamental, rich, full, and wild as male desire, and maybe even more so. Yet it is tempered or inhibited by how we are socialized to think and feel about our sexuality. With this in mind, the next obvious questions to ask ourselves are, what are my current beliefs about my own sexuality? What would happen to me, to my relationship, to my family and friends, to my career, if I were to fully embrace and express the depth and breadth of my desire and pleasure? How do I know for sure that my answers are true and not a conditioned response? By redefining our desire and pleasure to be natural, rich, and healthy, and through affirming this daily through accentuating our attention to our own desire and pleasure, we literally reinforce, augment, and even create more of the neural network needed for us to cultivate a lifetime of pleasure. The opposite is also true. By continuing to deny, diminish, and punish our desire and pleasure, we wire our brains to atrophy our pleasure pathways until we no longer have access to them. We will explore our definitions in the activity part of this lesson. For now, be sure to take time to honestly answer and consider the above questions. If you remember, in the free video series, we looked at how our heart and yoni, genitals, are deeply connected in how they affect each other. Our hearts are able to relax and surrender to great joy and pleasure when our mind can also be relaxed. In fact, when our mind is enhancing our pleasure rather than dampening it, we have an incredible combination of limitless delight. This is why looking at our current definitions is essential, because no matter what technique we would use to activate our pleasure, it would eventually be sabotaged by the rigid and outdated definitions we hold. We want to continually free ourselves from rigid expectations of ourselves that limit our pleasure. Myth number 3. Sexual skill determines my pleasure and orgasm. This is a huge myth that is supported, in truth, by some factual experiences. It would seem that a skilled lover can indeed draw out of us glorious orgasms. Yet it is still false. Who is doing the surrendering? Who is generating the sensation? Who is creating the chemical chain reaction that sets off a multitude of different and delightful pleasures? You, not your lover. Here's the secret. The more we make someone or something external responsible for our orgasm, the more it is true. And the more it is true, the more we are bound to be disappointed, let down, unmet, and frustrated. Why? Because no lover can know you the way that you can know you. And no lover has the power to give or not give you pleasure. Here's really what happens. You are the one choosing to be open, choosing to be excited, choosing to let go, choosing to surrender to pleasure or not. It is fairly common that the very person with whom we are most excited and hot for can turn into a person with whom we have little or no excitement or interest in. Are you currently holding someone as your ultimate pleasure lover? Would you love to be able to self-generate deep orgasm no matter what your circumstance is? Orgasm is independent of skill, but skill can enhance the possibility of orgasm. The truth is that we are all sexually sovereign. Our sexuality is our own to claim and enjoy. Let me say this simply. Orgasm is self-generated. However, because we are deeply psychosexual beings, we cannot separate our beliefs, definitions, and emotions from our sexual experience. If we are really angry, or hurt, or afraid, or bored, we will not feel inspired to open up and surrender. Or maybe you need all of those things in order to surrender. We are all wired differently. We all have unique erotic fingerprints, access to our desire and pleasure. Part of claiming our sexual sovereignty is to embark on the journey of uncovering our own erotic fingerprint and learning to trust our own erotic intelligence, the part of us that relishes in desire and pleasure and who knows exactly what is needed to accentuate it. We will look more deeply at our erotic fingerprint in week 5. What conditions must be met for you to surrender to your pleasure? Have you ever surrendered to your full pleasure shamelessly? If not, do you feel intrigued or curious about the idea? If yes, what about it specifically intrigues you? Discovering yourself and your real erotic intelligence is a journey. Lovers are part of that journey, but they are not the journey itself. We will speak more on this in week 3. By claiming your sexual sovereignty, you claim your pleasure potential. By owning your pleasure for yourself, you liberate your erotic intelligence. By being willing to take risks to unveil who you really are, you harness the possibility of a lifetime of sensual and sexual delight. Let's bring today's theory into reality through direct experience with the practices in the activity videos.